When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
I want a different approach the Washington Commanders are taking right now. It is Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Chris Carlin, Q Myers, in for Mr. Fortenbaugh today. Q is standing up. He's like, it's like you're limbering up and stretching out before the show, trying to get yourself fired up like a boxer in the corner as he's about to get introduced.
No, I'm already fired up. I'm already ready to go. I'm like that dog that's been in the car for a long time on a road trip, and you open the door and he just goes. I'm ready to go. Let's get it.
Well, let's do it, because there is so much to get to today as we are less than a week away from the NFL draft. And this is where we have to start. The Washington Commanders did something a little bit different yesterday, or this week, I should say, in that instead of bringing in one quarterback at a time for their top 30 visit, to visit with them all since they have the second pick, they simply chose to bring four of them in together, which is a different approach, an interesting approach, but one that apparently has not gone over well with everybody involved. Here is Adam Schefter on SportsCenter last night at 6 p.m. Eastern, ESPN's senior NFL insider.
Well, it didn't seem to go over too well with the agent for Jaden Daniels, Ron Butler, who sounded off on social media last night that he didn't seem particularly pleased with the process. I think Jaden Daniels thought it would be a visit with just him, meeting with the Commanders. Many people think that Jaden Daniels will wind up being the number two overall pick, but the Commanders essentially opened up the process and had in other quarterbacks like Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr. It was their chance essentially to speed date all the quarterbacks before they have to finalize a decision about which quarterback they're going to take.
Q, we have all operated under the assumption here for a bit that Jaden Daniels was going to be the pick, but then all of a sudden last night you go through some of the sports books and he and Drake May are a whole lot closer. In fact, not that far apart at all right now than they were before. What's your take on what the Commanders have done here?
You know, I'm not saying it's the wrong approach, but it wouldn't have been my approach, right? I think that it would have been fine just to bring these different quarterbacks in one at a time and really kind of show them the attention and get to know them. And, you know, I realize it's not college, it's not really recruiting, but it's almost like you're recruiting as well. You know, showing them your organization, even though you have the opportunity to draft them, you're also highlighting what your organization is, especially that organization that's Washington. We know all the changes that they've had. It's almost like you should be selling these guys individually on your team and what you're going to do. So again, my approach wouldn't have been to bring them all in together. It would have been one at a time and just kind of really get to know them on a one-on-one basis. But obviously there's different approaches, and Washington took the other.
See, I don't have any problem with this. The job of quarterback is to play in some adverse circumstances, to play while there is mayhem around you. So when you're trying to find out if someone is going to be comfortable in an uncomfortable situation and be unfazed by it, I've got no problem with this. And all right, I'm not going to call it a red flag, because I think that Jaden Daniels is an exceptional player. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say and want to know, hey, Jaden, who else went to your birthday party? You know, like it was draft day or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I don't love it. I don't love that the agent is getting all bummed out about this right now, that they haven't done enough to show their guy enough love. Now, it varies from what has gone on in Chicago, and we'll get to that in a few minutes, where the Bears haven't brought anybody else in. They want Caleb Williams to know he is their guy. But if I'm Jaden Daniels, like, I would like to think I'd have more of the mentality of, I don't care who else you bring in right now. I'm the guy. period.
Right. Well, the other thing about this, Carlin, is maybe Jaden Daniels and his agent aren't sold on Washington to begin with, right? Maybe they're not too, you know, sure if they want to be there, right? There's been the conversations about, what, a year ago or so that Adam Peters said Jaden Daniels would be a third or fourth round pick, and now he has the opportunity to pick up number two overall. So they might not be 100% sold on them anyway, and then feel a little bit slighted because now they're speed dating, as you called it. I thought that was a great description, as opposed to trying to woo them. And remember, these are youngsters. It ain't like me and you where we're just happy to be at the party. These guys want to be wooed. They want to be wowed. They want to be shown the, you know, everything, and it's not college, but that's kind of the mentality as well. So it's a lot to take into consideration.
Okay, so 2 days ago, Jaden Daniels was the clear favorite to be the second pick. Here are some of the numbers, okay? Drake May has gone from Jaden Daniels had emerged as the overall pick. Now, let me see here. Minus 275 to plus 215. In other words, Daniels was at minus 275. Drake May was at plus 215. So you have to bet $275 to win $100 if you thought that Jaden Daniels was the guy. Now, most of the sports books, including ESPN Bet, basically have this at a dead heat. ESPN Bet is a little bit different. They've got Daniels minus 125, May minus 110. Everywhere else, they're all pretty much, the two of them are basically minus 110 right now. In other words, completely even in
so
their
odds. So
nobody
has a clue.
Like, what? I am so fascinated by this.
Yeah.
Because Vegas, you're in Vegas.
Yeah.
Explain this to me, if you can, how it can shift that dramatically without any significant piece of information, or does yesterday qualify as that kind of significant piece of information?
I think that there could honestly been some kind of a little bit of doubt anyway. I mean, I feel like that there must have been something going on in the back channels where they weren't sure if Washington was going to go with Jaden. It felt like they were, like the conversations that we have all had have been like Jaden Daniel was a lock, but I feel like someone else that's clearly a little bit smarter than us had a little bit of a doubt, and then all the different moving and shaking and all the different conversations and the speed dating and the agent putting out, you know, the tweet and letting it be known on social media that they weren't too happy. And I ain't going to lie to you, Carlin, his DMs were open, so I shot my shot. Hey, man, you know, tell your boy something, man. Holler at me, right? You're guaranteed to miss a shot you don't take. Now, I missed, but I tried. So there's that.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you one bit. Absolutely take your shot at it.
Right.
And it all leads to this question. Does this now change or affect who is actually going to go at number two? You listen to Adam Peters yesterday, the Commanders' general manager, and they sound like they are pretty comfortable staying where they are.
Are you still considering trading down, or have you guys decided to use that number two pick?
We feel great about staying at number two. I don't see a whole lot of scenarios where we trade down, to be honest with you. Yeah, we feel great about sticking there.
That, to me, does not strike me as somebody that is trying to build up more leverage or say, hey, you better blow us away if you want the number two pick.
Right.
That feels like somebody who's going to take him. Man, I'd be hard-pressed if they don't take Daniel still. Do you? At this point, I'd have to believe they still go in that direction.
I mean, you know, I say that, yeah, I feel like that they're going to go in that direction. But, you know, you think about Dan Quinn as the head coach there, and when they got to the Super Bowl, they got to the Super Bowl with Matt Ryan. And I think that a lot would compare Drake May to being a lot more Matt Ryan-like than Jaden Daniels. And so, I mean, I think there's a good conversation. And for the longest, Carlin, it was all Caleb Williams and Drake May. And then all of a sudden, Jaden Daniels went out and won a Heisman Trophy. And it's like, wait, hold on. There's this other guy that's added to the mix. I think that there is going to be some doubt, and I think there's some other teams that might try to put some doubt as well, maybe potentially trying to get up there and getting Jaden Daniels as well. So I think there's a lot that goes into this as we're less than a week away.
Well, maybe the agent's reaction is more of the agent trying to play games. Now, listen, we know that we are in Lion season.
Facts.
No question.
Yep.
But maybe it's the agent who is saying, hey, you know, anybody else, you know, we're not thrilled with this situation. Maybe you want to knock on the door here.
As he should for his client, right? I mean, let's see what's going on. Let's turn up the heat on the Commanders, right? That could just be a signal to try to get some other teams interested, maybe calling, maybe getting some teams to potentially trade up to, you know, the three spot, and then them saying, hey, you know what? Maybe we'd be more interested to go and play in there anyway as opposed to here. So there's a lot of games that are being played right now. I mean, this is the ultimate game show, and I've never been good at game shows.
Well, I've always wanted to host them. And right. I'll say this. If the Commanders, unless Jaden Daniels says to the Commanders, I'm not playing here,
yeah,
I think they're out of their minds if they pass on him. I think he is an incredibly special talent who I've had a lot of people tell me in the league as I've been getting ready for the draft, like, this is a heck of a lot more of a coin toss between him and Caleb Williams than it's being made out to be when we come down to actual talent and what they can do.
I agree. I think that he's the best quarterback in this draft, right? I love what Jaden Daniels brings to the table. But, I mean, we've seen some drafts where guys get picked and you're left kind of scratching your head wondering what in the world's going on. Look, I'm in Vegas. I cover the Raiders. More times than not, they've been the team that's made me scratch my head. So, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of different scenarios that could play into factor here. And all of a sudden, you could look up and Jaden Daniels could be possibly there at number three. And the Patriots sound like they're open for business. So, a lot of things could change.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Q Myers in for Joe today. We've got a lot of Raiders insight to get because there is this is an incredibly intriguing scenario regarding the Raiders and the quarterback situation. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. We mentioned the Bears. Are they actually making a mistake by committing all in to Caleb Williams right now? There is one person of great repute who thinks so. And I'm not talking about me. It's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
...2022 Heisman Trophy winner, Caleb Williams, 7th.
There's only one guy that can throw the ball like him, Mahomes.
How did Caleb Williams do that?
Unbelievable! He's awesome. He's really, really special.
The Magic Man pulls out the Magic Wand!
It's been a foregone conclusion for a while now that Caleb, well, pretty much since last year's draft, that Caleb Williams is going to be the number one overall pick. And the Bears have done nothing to dispel that notion. But you do sometimes wonder if maybe they have gone a little bit overboard here in not even considering Jaden Daniels for this. And the reason I say it is because of what Lewis Riddick has had to say recently about it. It's Carlin versus Joe. Q Myers is in for Joe today on ESPN Radio and on your smart speaker. How about this tweet yesterday, Q, from Lou Riddick? had a great discussion with a personnel man I trust a few hours ago. Question he had for me: why isn't Chicago being scrutinized more for seemingly deciding a while ago on the direction they're going to go at quarterback, while Washington is being questioned about their process of gathering intel as we speak before making a definitive decision at quarterback? This is a career-defining, franchise-altering move for both teams. You must be sure as you can possibly be. This is the kind of discussion I love. The debate is real. That is from Lewis Riddick. Having heard from many different people how much closer this is, Q, it is a very interesting question that we have all just operated under the assumption that Caleb is definitively should be the guy, and the Bears have completely treated him that way.
They have treated him that way publicly, right? We don't know how they've treated him privately. And again, I think that there's multiple ways to attack this. And, you know, you can roll in a bunch of different players together like Washington did and kind of speed date them, or you can make it sound like, okay, Caleb Williams, it's a no doubter. He's going to be the number one overall pick, and keep it quiet as kept. And then all of a sudden, you may be in the back of your mind saying, actually, Jaden's going to be our guy, but we ain't going to let them know that. Like, I mean, there's so many different approaches. I think the quiet approach is obviously not the approach I would take because I'm too loud for that. But I think that, you know, Ryan Poles could be playing a really good role and not tipping his hand publicly, as opposed to really knowing what's going on internally.
Here's what I worry about, though. I worry this could be a mistake. I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
All right? Because a few different evaluations I've seen have been based around the fact that in the argument of Daniels being potentially the better player to pick and maybe the safer pick, is the offense that he has played in versus the offense that Caleb Williams has played in.
Mm-hmm.
So much more of what Caleb has had to do has been based upon his ability to be a magician, and nobody will deny that. The fact that this guy can make incredible plays on the run and really pull a rabbit out of a hat when you don't expect it. But Jaden Daniels has played a lot more of an offense where he has to sit in the pocket, read, react, and go and, you know, go through his progressions, and this is something he's very comfortable doing. And so that's what, when he has all of the skills that he has, and I couple it with that, man, that would make me really think twice about this if I were the Bears. And the Bears have, and maybe because they're the Bears, they have to do this. Like, I think this is a large part of why they're doing this. They are, like you said, they're borderline trying to recruit Caleb so they make sure he doesn't try to pull an Eli Manning on him.
Right, exactly. That could be a major factor because that was something that we've all talked about. Could that play a role where he actually wants to be in Washington? He wants to go back to his hometown. He wants to work with Cliff Kingsbury, who he had familiarity with there at USC. Maybe just kind of rolling out the red carpet for him and not ruffling any feathers more and more sells him on them, so he doesn't say, hey, you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. I want to go there.
Is it a good thing, Q? Like, is it a good thing to just throw it all on him while seemingly not even leaving any kind of a question as to what they could possibly do?
I think it'd be fine just because they're keeping it simple, right? They're saying, hey, look, this is the guy that's been locked in as the number one overall pick for how long now? Let's not overthink this. That's our guy. Let's go get our guy. We have a pretty good team. Actually, we have a really good team of guys that we're putting around him. Let's put him in the best position to succeed, and then we'll go from there. I mean, it could just be that simple where we spend weeks on top of shows, overthinking it, analyzing it, breaking it down. What if this? What if that? The Bears could be like, hey, look, that's our guy, Jack. Let's go.
Okay. But I'll even go this far. Like, this time right now that we see between the end of the season and the draft, it's not just us. Like, everybody, teams look for more reasons to not draft a guy than to draft a guy.
Right.
And it doesn't feel like the Bears have even bothered to look. At any point, it doesn't feel like they've even bothered to look at anything that could be considered negative about this. Look, there's no doubt that the public expects this to be the guy.
Right.
Is all of that entering this too much? This is what I'm starting to feel.
How many negativities do you think are there could be possibly out there on Caleb Williams? He can make all the throws. He's a dude. He's got the size. He won the Heisman Trophy. He's worked with Lincoln Riley, who's put 18 dudes in the league. I mean, yeah, everyone's got some warts, but, man, his warts aren't that bad looking. They're almost one of those like, hey, is that the new trend? I kind of like that wart.
All right, I'll give you one person who evaluated him and what they said in a quote, okay?
Okay.
There is no denying his talent.
Okay.
But my question would be, how well does he see it in the field? If he saw it, could some of the bad plays that he made last year have been avoided? How good is he to go in and call plays and run the offense right now? And that question was based more around what we're seeing from what Jaden Daniels had to do the past couple of years at LSU.
Right, and that's fair, and I think that's a fair analysis of all these quarterbacks, because yeah. The NFL's a different ball game. What you're prepared to do in college is totally different than what you're going to be doing on Sundays or Mondays or Thursdays. It's a different animal. And look, Jaden Daniels happens to be peaking at the right time. And again, I like him as my QB number one. I like him a lot. I like what he brings to the table, but I think Caleb Williams could be just as good, if not better, and he did it in 2022, where he was, no doubt about it, the best in all the land when he had all his weapons and had a great team around him. Chicago is putting a great team around him and saying, you know what, any issues he may have had in 2023, we're going to help alleviate that by bringing in all this talent like a Keenan Allen. DJ Moore's already there. They've built up the farm, and they could do more. They can get another guy. They can get a bloodthirsty pirate like Roma Dunze at number 9 and give him another weapon.
All right, two things. So you don't at all consider it a potential mistake in how the Bears have handled this at all?
No, I think that there's multiple different approaches that you could take, and I think that just because they're being quiet about it doesn't mean that they're not breaking it down and analyzing it and really deciding who their guy is going to be.
Yeah, listen, I get that. I understand that, but you would think that they would at least make sure everybody knew that they have gone through all of these processes in evaluating
Why?
This guy, and it doesn't feel like that's the case.
Why do they got to tell us? Why do they got to tell anyone else? Why does everyone got to know what they're doing? How come?
Because if this guy turns out to be a flop, they're going to look silly.
If he looks to be great, they're going to look fantastic, right? I mean, this is also the organization that made moves to go get Mitchell Trubisky. So, look, this is a whole lot better than that,
well,
that standpoint.
I'll give you this. They have absolutely got to prove to Caleb Williams that this group with Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus is here to fix the history of the Bears when
Facts.
It comes to quarterbacks.
Facts.
Because
exactly.
That's been a nightmare. Secondly, just real quick, bloodthirsty pirate. Oh,
I stole that from Freddie Coleman.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. I kind of love it, though. The NBA playoffs start tomorrow. There is one team that might have to reconsider everything if they have another first-round exit. That's after I tell you about this from our friends at Grainger. This is all about the ones who get it done. Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge, experience, and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you ease your facilities, can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio. From the play-in tournament,
here's Embiid, trains a triple,
until a champion is crowned at the NBA Finals,
the Denver Nuggets NBA champion.
History awaits. The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
This is the time of year, especially if you're not already, you need to be listening to the Hoop Collective podcast. Brian Windhorst does an amazing job. Tim McMahon, along with our guy Tim Bontemps as well. Brian Windhorst joins us right now, ESPN NBA insider and host of the Hoop Collective podcast. Brian, it's Chris and Q Myers in today for Joe Fortenbaugh. Let's start here. We were discussing this off the air earlier. Nuggets are -350 to win their series against the Lakers. If the Lakers won this series, would this be the biggest upset of LeBron's career?
No, upsetting the Warriors in the 2016 Finals down 3-1.
Even when you factor in the Draymond stuff, though.
Yeah, because they didn't lose that series because of Draymond getting hurt or Draymond getting suspended. Mm-hmm. That's another topic. Honestly, this is such a tightly packed playoffs, with the exception of whoever the Celtics play, and this series. Every other series, you could easily see the lower seed winning. All six of them. You don't have to make a case at all. And the Lakers, in this tightly packed series, would be one of those teams against any other team in the West. It's just they drew the straw to face the best team. And in all honesty, I think what the Lakers are going to look at here, last year, they were in all four of those games in the fourth quarter. In some of the games this year, they were competitive in the fourth quarter. They got to try to make it a fourth quarter series and hope that it goes their way this time. And I say that not confident in it. The Nuggets were one of the best clutch teams in the league. Jokic was one of the best clutch players in the league. It's a mountain to climb. LeBron is 15-1 in his career in first round playoff series, because he was always the best player, and teams would go in and they would say they would fight the good fight and he would slap them down. Carlin, he went at one point, I think, 4 years where he didn't even lose a first round playoff game. And so he's been on the other side of it. He knows what's up against him. And that's why he was kind of muted in his comments yesterday.
We know that the Nuggets didn't have the season where they were just the best team in the league, but they've got the been there, done that. They've won the championship. They're the defending champs. How much is that going to help them in this run starting against the Lakers?
Well, they've got supreme confidence against the Lakers. I mean, first off, they have an inferiority thing that happens there. Even though they're the champs, they think that they're disrespected because they're from Denver, and they're right. They are. And that's why they dunked on the Lakers, even though they were celebrating a win over the Heat last year. When they were celebrating at their parade, they were dunking on the Lakers, because it wasn't just the Lakers. They were dunking on the concept that they are less than because they're not from one of the coasts. So they love when they get into these situations. And the way everything fell this year, they were able to dunk on the Lakers a few more times. The night that they unveiled the Kobe statue in L.A., they dunked on the Lakers. And the night where LeBron scored 40, first ever to 40 points, they dunked on him and the Lakers. They love it. And so getting this matchup in the first round, a team that they know they're better than, you can just tell they relish it.
Brian Windhorst, host of the Hoop Collective podcast, ESPN NBA insider with us, Carlin versus Joe. Q is in for Joe today. What's our latest here on Kawhi Leonard? And if they're going to miss him at all, can the Clippers actually win this series without him?
Well, I sort of look, on one hand, the Clippers are always very cautious when they talk about Kawhi. And yesterday, Lawrence Frank, their team president, came out and really cast like a dour, you know, outlook, like, you know, not committing to anything, saying he's not taking contact practice yet. But I don't think he protests too much. I think it was a bit of a sales job. I think that they plotted out Kawhi's recovery timeline to make sure he was back for game one. And here's the other thing. There was a slot open for Team USA. When the teams first came out, there was a slot open, if you remember. And then 24 hours later, Kawhi was announced as on that slot. And here he is taking the jersey from Ty Lue in a video released on the Team USA platforms. I don't think Kawhi commits to Team USA this week if he's not thinking he's going to be ready to go. Now, does he stay ready to go? That's another topic altogether. But I think that you should expect to see Kawhi Leonard out there. What kind of team will the Clippers be? That's a guess, too. But I think Kawhi will be out there.
On the flip side of that, the Dallas Mavericks and Luka, of course, we know about Kyrie as well. How big could this potentially be? Really as a huge coming out party for Luka if they can get this done.
Yeah, the Mavericks had the things fall their way. First off, they were playing the best basketball of all the teams in the West down the last month or so of the season. Not only being awesome offensively, as they have been for years now, but they were the number one defensive team in the league over the last 15 games. Their alignment after the trades and the starting lineup change that Jason Kidd made, playing bigger with bigger wings and the bigger in the center, has made a huge difference. Secondly, there was that really bizarre game a week ago today where the Spurs somehow made a 20-point comeback against the Nuggets. It's still baffling, and that cost the Nuggets the number one seed, and that fell into place for the Mavericks that knocked them on the opposite side of the bracket as Denver. So, yeah, they got a tough series with the Clippers, but they're opposite of Denver for the second round if they can advance. That was a huge turn of events. And third, Kyrie's been healthy and happy and not disruptive for months now. He's done everything that they've wanted when they traded for him. He's exceeded my expectations, and that has to be acknowledged. He's obviously got to keep doing it for another 2 months, but this is as good probably as the Mavericks have felt about themselves in a couple of years.
Brian Windhorst with us, ESPN NBA Insider. Brian, what's at stake for Kevin Durant and the Suns here in this series against Minnesota, especially if they lose?
Yeah, it's not been the kind of season that they envisioned. They envisioned this being an all-in season where they were neck and neck with Denver. You know, they were 2-2 with them in the playoffs last year. They thought they were pretty close, so they make the Bradley Beal trade, and it didn't work out in the season. They got no traction. Their coaching change didn't seem to get the results that they wanted. And they're here they are without home court in any round of this playoffs. So it's a tall order, but I'm going to say that the one thing I'll point out, they had a really positive finish to the season. They had this brutal 10 games to finish the year where we all were like, oh my God, this is the toughest 10-game stretch we've seen in the league in like a decade. They go 7-3. They're the big winners out of all that talent in the play-in tournament. They come out outlasting those other teams and get the sixth seed. Then they finish the season with two outstanding road wins. Last Friday in Sacramento at the buzzer, they were a terrible fourth quarter team all year, but they get it done there, and that pushed Sacramento into the play-in and them out of it. And then last Sunday against this Minnesota team, they win in Minnesota to push Minnesota to the three and solidify them at the four again on the road with excellent execution down the stretch where they were great playing defense against Ant Edwards. So they've got flaws. They're totally inconsistent. They've been a terrible fourth quarter team. They've definitely had health problems and underachieved. But I will say that they're in about as good of a headspace and momentum as they've had all season. So they could be a disappointment if they go out, but I think that they've got the best chance we've seen from them to advance.
With you having said all of that, it feels like maybe this isn't as much of an issue, but is there, if they did go out, is there a chance that Durant or one of them actually asks out of this?
Well, you've got to always check on Durant's temperature because, yeah. You know, I thought he had a great situation in Oklahoma City, gone. Obviously a championship situation in Oklahoma City, gone. The table was set in Brooklyn. It wasn't working out, but gone. So, yeah, I think that at the end of the season, if this doesn't end in a positive way, you definitely got to check and see where Durant is. That said, and this, you can obviously disagree with me on this, and that's fine. I never saw this as a one and done situation in Phoenix. I thought with the way they broke their team down, they were going to need a year or so to work on that roster. And I still think that their best option together could be next season. So we'll see if Durant feels the same way.
Wendy, I want to take you back real quick to that Pelicans and Lakers play-in game where we saw Zion playing the best game of his career. Obviously, he had a great season playing in 70 games, but then he gets hurt, misses the last 3 minutes. It felt like that was his career in a nutshell right there in that moment. Is that what we're expecting to see from Zion when healthy, that guy that we saw against the Lakers?
Yes, it's a tremendously step-forward season for Zion. The Pelicans had a frustrating season because once again, they've been an injury-bitten team, not just with Zion, but for years now, and it happened again. McCollum was injured. Brandon Ingram was injured early in the season. Trey Murphy, who's their sharpshooter, was injured. They finally get it all on one page. They're having a supreme moment. I think they were on the way to winning that game. I know that they were kind of playing from behind, and Zion was leading the comeback, but the way things are going, LeBron's legs look toast at that point. I think they were going to win that game, and it was just such a letdown to have that happen. I think you still believe in this team. Stick with it. See what they can do. They've got some big decisions in the offseason, but here's the thing about the Pelicans. Regardless of what happens tonight or if they're able to win and Zion isn't able to play in this first round, they are an upward mobile team. They have assets in their piggy bank. They have they own like the Milwaukee Bucks draft for like the next few years. They have the ability to improve this roster. This was a step forward for Zion. And obviously it was a disappointment what happened, and he seems to always be taking two steps and forward and one step back, or one step forward and two steps back. But I do think he's on the verge of turning the corner. And if I was a Pelicans fan, I would be frustrated but still excited.
Brian Windhorst, last one real quick. Joel Embiid, there's debate. Is this about conditioning coming back, or is he still pretty banged up in this? What is your read here as we enter the Knicks series?
He didn't look great in this game, but I'm going to believe what I saw from Joel in the other five games he played. I thought he looked pretty good, and I think they're a very formidable team, and they were 32-8. When he played this year, and that is a very impressive record, and it's a miserable, unfair draw for the Knicks. I'm expecting him to play well. I have no idea whether he can stay healthy, because I think he's gotten injured in playoff series three times in his career, including last season. There's no way you can count on his health, but I'm expecting him to be excellent tomorrow. I'm expecting the Sixers to be very formidable, and certainly I give the Knicks with home court advantage, who's a hard-nosed team, a chance to win that series. But I think the Sixers right now are playing the second best basketball in the East after the Celtics.
Always phenomenal insight, Brian. We appreciate it.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA Insider. You got to subscribe to the Hoop Collective podcast. I'm telling you, as an adopter a few years ago, I have absolutely gotten a ton out of that. I feel like I get smarter about basketball each time, and that's not easy for me to say. I don't get smarter easily. End of the road for an NBA super team? That's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio.
Barbasol Shaving Cream. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You've got to always check on Durant's temperature because, he I thought he had a great situation in Oklahoma City, gone. Obviously a championship situation in Oklahoma City, gone. The table was set in Brooklyn, it wasn't working out, but gone. So, yeah, I think that at the end of the season, if this doesn't end in a positive way, you definitely got to check and see where Durant is. That said, and this, you can obviously disagree with me on this, and that's fine. I never saw this as a one-and-done situation in Phoenix.
Brian Windhorst just a few minutes ago about what happens in... if, in fact, the Suns lose to the Timberwolves in the first round with their big three out there. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in to play-in action tonight. Got the Heat hosting the Bulls, followed by the Kings in New Orleans, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 6:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations and on SiriusXM Channel 80. Q Myers in for Joe today. Nothing is going to surprise me when it comes to Kevin Durant.
Nothing.
And if Durant, Q, if he comes out and he wants out of Phoenix this offseason, I am not going to be stunned whatsoever.
No, not at all, right? I mean, at this point, it feels like he's almost a hired gun, right? I mean, it's one of those guys where you feel like, you know, you can get him for a year, maybe even a couple years, but you've got to make sure you win. And even if winning doesn't mean that he's going to stick around, right? It just kind of feels like he's one of those dudes that he's here today, he could be gone tomorrow. There's a handful of those guys around the league. Kevin Durant just happens to be one of the best players that happens to do that as well. So, no, nothing would shock me at all. And to be honest, Carlin, I look at Phoenix and I say, man, they've got some really good players, but I don't really look at them as a really good team. Right, I think there's a difference. There's really good players, and then there's really good teams. I think they're players. I don't think they're a team.
I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that, and it shouldn't be the case when you factor in their big three, but then you also factor in guys like Grayson Allen. I mean, Grayson Allen was having a career year this year shooting the three, leading the league in three-point percentage. You know, I am blown away by how little defense they play and how they just assume that they're going to outscore everybody, especially that Frank Vogel has not been able to get that through to them this season for whatever reason, which is why when I look at Durant, at this point, Q, it just feels like he's chasing it. He's chasing it, and he's not going to be able to get it. And what, you know, I asked this at the beginning when he first made the move. Championships were so important. Why did you leave? And it was because everybody was saying he couldn't do it on his own because he hadn't done it on his own. Now it just feels like he's chasing it, trying to be a central figure when he has never been an alpha personality to lead a group. And we found that out in Brooklyn.
Yeah, facts. I mean, that's the thing, though. He is trying to, exactly what you said, chase it where he wins a championship and they say, hey, there's no doubt about it, that was KD's team. He recruited those guys, or when he got there, he was the alpha dog, and they just gravitated to him. And, you know, of course, look, I'm a Warriors fan, so I understand what happened while he was in Golden State, won the couple rings. That was fantastic. But there's nobody that will ever say, oh, you know, that's KD's team. No, it's always going to be Steph's team, regardless of the role that Steph played and regardless of the role that KD played. And he was a heavy lifter, no doubt about it. But that team was set up in such a great way when he arrived there. So now he's going out there trying to prove that he is that guy, when honestly, he doesn't have to prove what kind of guy he is. He's already one of the best to do it, right? We know that. We know the accolades that come with Kevin Durant, but it's something about he wants to get that ultimate praise where he either put the team together or there was no doubt he is the reason why that team won a ring.
You can argue that paying attention to all of the talk around him has really held him back from being able to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, because whether it's the sensitivity on social media, he pays attention to everything that's being said.
Everything, brother.
Yeah, you can say you don't care, but your actions show otherwise.
Right. Yeah, he's all over everything. He is one of those guys. I mean, look, when we used to joke about the fact that he had burner accounts, that was a real deal thing, you know, and he even admitted, like, hey, this is what I have. This is who I am. He is locked in on everything that's being said. He's locked in on everything being tweeted, written, whatever the case may be. He wants to be validated by everybody.
See, you listen to everything that Wendy said. Dude, just stay put. Mm-hmm. Just stay put. Let them get better. Let them get better defensive players around you. KD, it's not like KD doesn't like to play defense. He does.
Right.
Like, just stay put. That's the best opportunity you're going to have this offseason. There's no need to go chase it.
I don't know if they're ever going to really commit to playing defense, though, which is funny because Vogel could be a defensive guy. And even back in Indiana, I liked him as a coach. I just don't know how he does with alphas. And I know he won in L.A., but I think that Jason Kidd had a lot to do with that as well. It just seems like the Indiana situation for Vogel is a lot better than the situation in L.A. and now in Phoenix.
I mean, that's when you compare the talent. It is amazing that we could sit here and say that, and it's 100% true. 100% true. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Q Myers in for Joe today. One guy thinks there are surprises on the horizon in the draft. That's next.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.